The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I just thought, you know, I'm going to hell on a slip and slide.
Right, that's what you thought. You know? Yeah.
So here I am doing all these things that were taboo, but for the first time in my life, I felt like I could breathe.
Really?
And I ended up in places I never dreamed, that I would be doing things that I never thought I would do.
God met Hope Carpenter in her lowest moments and turned her life story into the most beautiful disaster. Next on Life Today.
Everybody, welcome to Life Today. I'm Tammy Trent, and I'm so glad you're here with us. Our guest today is someone I really love, and I've watched the Lord do miracles in her life and in her marriage. But Hope Carpenter nearly destroyed her family, her church, her ministry. On the outside, she was living the facade of a perfect life, but she was dying inside, living a double life, and didn't know how to ask for help until one day it all came crashing down. In her book, The Most Beautiful Disaster, How God Makes Miracles Out of Our Mistakes, Hope shares her remarkable journey from the brink of destruction to redemption. Hope Carpenter, I love you, and I'm so glad you're here.
I am so glad to be here. What a journey, right?
Oh, a total journey, yeah. And we have so much to unpack.
Yes.
I loved your book, and so I want to start out at the top,
okay.
Really, because there might be a lot of people that don't know you. And honestly, there's a lot of your story that I don't know the depth of.
Right.
And so today I think it's gonna be really powerful for a lot of people, but you're an open book. That's what I love so much about you. You're an open book. You're open about all the challenges that you've had
right.
in your life and throughout your life. But take us back to the beginning days of your life and maybe how in the early days of your childhood might've become a downfall in your
yes.
life.
Tammy, I am not one of those girls. I'm not one of those people who like to blame people for the things I've done. Mm. But I do believe that every adult problem is an unresolved child problem.
Yeah.
I believe that everything that's touched our life, what we did or did not get growing up, you know, many of us come from broken homes. I always say we all come from you know, dysfunctional families because no one's perfect.
Yes.
And you can't give what you don't have.
Yes.
So, you know, I was raised in a very strict Southern Baptist home until my parents were filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 12 years old.
Okay.
We went to the Pentecostal Holiness Church. I've loved Jesus my whole life. I was saved when I was 8.
Okay.
I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 12. So church has been our whole life.
Okay. Yeah.
But we had a lot of issues in our home.
Mm.
Today, people would call it abuse. Back then, it was called being strict.
What kind of things?
Okay,
what
like made the spankings
it?
With the switches where the blood runs down your legs.
Wow.
You know, the punching across the room. You know,
wow.
those types of things because they didn't want me to end up like the other girls.
Wow.
And so they were determined, you know, that I was going to be punished, that it was going to be harsh, that I was going to obey, I was going to be a good girl. Well, I went on my first date and got raped. And so,
oh
so fearful of the consequences,
yeah.
I didn't
yes.
even come home and tell my parents. So
yeah.
I carried that
yeah.
as a girl,
oh
as a young girl for years.
Mm.
And then that set up a cycle in me, a fear that, you know, I don't want it ever taken from me like that again, so I better offer it.
Wow, yeah,
so there's
right.
so many things, you know, it's the perfect storm the devil creates. You know, he wants to yoke you early.
Yes.
So that you never get outside of that pattern, that way of
yeah.
thinking, that way of living. The punishment was so harsh growing up that I would lie.
Okay.
To stay out of trouble.
Oh my
Who
gosh.
Wouldn't?
Right,
you
right.
You know, Hope, did you do that? No, I did not do that.
That's
Hope
right.
did it, though, you know. Hope
yeah.
did it. Usually every time Hope did it. But the spankings and the punishment was so harsh that it set up a pattern of any time confrontation would come to my life, I would lie.
So that pattern really, I mean, when you're talking about it started as a child, all yes. these different little things, living up to different people's expectations, yes. especially your family, your parents.
The Having life to be perfect.
I was going to say living a perfect life. Yes. Then the lies creep in and then all these things creep in. Did you even have anybody to talk to? I mean, I can only imagine
no.
as a child into your teenage years that this probably then carried on into your marriage in 1990.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I thought that changing my last name and changing my address, everything was going to be different. Everything was going to be great. It was going to be amazing. But that is not true. Even though I married an amazing man, and I think Ron Carpenter walks on water. I really do. One day I'm going to wake up and realize he is an angel. I'm living with an angel.
Good man.
He's a good man.
Yes.
But, you know, to me, even the rules of church, and you got to be there, and you can't, you know, even if you're sick, you got to go, and your kids have to be perfectly coiffed and in the choir and in GAs and RAs and all the things kids do. You just had to be perfect, perfect, perfect.
Yeah.
So the enemy comes and he tells you, maybe Ron's the problem.
Wow. So what did you do at that point? If you're thinking, okay,
I kept being a great wife. I kept being a great obedient wife.
And how did you do that?
Pastor's wife.
How did you do that?
Raising the kids. I mean, but on the inside, Tammy, and I describe this so much in my book. I go into great detail in the book.
You do, yeah.
I felt like a pressure cooker. You know, my grandmama used to cook green beans in a pressure cooker, and it would just start boiling little by little by little, and then the top would blow. Well, my top blew when I turned 35 years old.
Okay.
One day I woke up and I said, I cannot live like this another day. This was 2004. I did not know what that meant. I just knew what I felt on the inside. Could not even rationalize where the feelings were coming from. I had no idea all I had been through was causing all this pain on the inside of me because I'd swept it under the rug.
Yeah.
I pressed the minimize button. I didn't talk about it. You know, it's the kind of home, what happens in this home, what?
Stays in this home.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. And I thought, when you talk about that, I think about hiding.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of things in my life, too, where I felt like even in the church, like, I can't share this with anybody.
Right.
This, nobody's going to understand. And honestly, if I am trusting Jesus and walking with Jesus, then I shouldn't. Maybe my relationship with the Lord isn't very good if I'm actually going through this or thinking this way or having this struggle, but I certainly can't share it with anybody.
Yeah.
So I think that's when the hiding.
It does.
And I think there's so many people that are so good at hiding things because they don't feel like they have help or don't even know how to untangle the mess they've got into and maybe even how deep is this mess?
Right.
And I think in particular, people in the church, maybe the church just isn't a very good help with people
that need
to. It isn't.
And
I
say that in the book, you know, after I've gone through all this, I'm 55 now.
Okay.
So I've learned a lot, been through a lot of counseling, gotten a lot of help. Thank the Lord for it. I don't think we've done a very good job as a church, as a whole, globally, at really meeting the needs of the people and letting, Jesus, I talk about this in the book too. When you come into the presence of Jesus, He creates such a climate where you feel safe and you can show your withered hand. You know the story in the Bible of the man with the withered hand. He had one bad hand and he had one good hand. And Jesus came to him and said, stretch out your hand. And, you know, us church people, we'd have went, whoa, here's my good hand, you know. Here's one with all
I'm
my
showing
rings
my good one.
And my good fingernails.
Yes.
Not the one with the broken fingernails.
Right.
But what did he do? He immediately stretched out his broken place. And that's Jesus. That's not so much the church. We want to make sure everybody is perfect and everybody's performing well. And, you know, you had a fight in the car, but then you get to church and they're like, how you doing, Miss Tammy? Oh, I'm blessed. I'm just great. Everybody's great. But we're not great.
No, we're not great. And I'm going to tell you, I've loved you for a long time because I came to your church and did a women's conference with you. This was in September of 2013. And I remember it was probably just like a month later where I heard that everything came crashing down for you. But tell us about that season in your life because it has changed the whole trajectory of your life.
Yes. Oh, it rescued my life.
Tell me about it.
So my life, 2004 is when I woke up one day and said, something's wrong. I can't live like this. I veered off the path just a little bit. I was going this way, the perfect little preacher's wife, you know, performing, being great, but dying on the inside.
Yeah.
I veered off. And listen, I laugh about it now, but, you know, it was very traumatic at the time. Yeah. That, in 2004, I went and bought a six-pack of beer. I bought three secular CDs, and I bought a bikini. Oh, my goodness.
All the things you shouldn't do or have as a pastor's wife.
I just thought, you know, I'm going to hell on a slip and slide.
Right, that's what you thought. You know?
Yep. So here I am doing all these things that were taboo, but for the first time in my life, I felt like I could breathe.
Really?
Wow. And since then, in counseling, I've learned that that's called individuation.
Okay.
It's what you're supposed to do at 12, 13, 14, in the safety of parameters of a home, like touching your finger to a stove and saying, ooh, that burned, I'll never do that again. Mm. I never had those experiences. I was never allowed.
You weren't allowed to, that's right. Yeah.
So at 35, I started. And I did that for 9 years. And I ended up in places I never dreamed that I would be doing things that I never thought I would do. And I looked back in 2013 and thought, how did I get here?
Yeah.
I loved my husband still. Mm. I loved Jesus mm. with all my heart, but I was so broken and had nowhere to go, did not know how to get fixed. I couldn't even put a finger on how I got here or what was wrong. So in 2013, I came to my husband and I said, you know, everything was crashing around me.
Yeah.
It was, you know, people were seeing hopes not the same. You saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So I had to sit him down. We had argued. He had suspected. I was honest, said, I've been unfaithful. This is what's been going on in my life. And I thought, you know, Ron, being the angel he is, was just going to rescue me and help mm. me get out of this mess. And he said, you got 30 minutes. Get your stuff. Get out.
Wow, Hope. Wow.
And thus the title of this book.
Oh, my gosh.
We were the number three top story that year in the Christian news. How sad is that?
That is sad.
And, I mean, he had people saying, kick her out.
Yeah.
Don't take her back. You know.
Unbelievable.
And he had filed for divorce. And he told me, he said, I love you. He said, but being with you is too painful.
What did you do?
I went to a ministry place called Living Waters Ministry in North Carolina that we sent the other broken people to.
Oh, my goodness. Now over the years. You were walking in.
Yeah, the island of the broken people as if nobody else is. You know, we're all broken.
Right.
We're all broken in need of Jesus.
Yes, we are.
So I went there and I said, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I just need a bed tonight and I just need to get my mind together. Well, this little lady comes in, she takes her little sweater and the next morning she says, ready? You ready to get busy? We're going to dig to the bottom of this. She never judged me. She never asked me, who were you with? Mm. How many times? None of the things that matter. She wanted to find out, not what I did, but how I got there.
Wow,
what happened to you? That's the question she asked me. Not what I did, but Hope, what happened to you?
What
And we started going back all the way to childhood and unmet needs in my life and the rape and never getting counseling and how it set me up to perform in performance orientation. And I, you know, for the very first time, Tammy, I'd been in ministry my whole life. I was 43 at the time. I ran straight into the unconditional love of Jesus for the first time in my life.
Yes, 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 you did.
And so I wrote this book, The Most Beautiful Disaster, How God Makes Miracles Out of Our Mistakes. Because I said, God, you know, the world's sitting here trying to reconcile it. But to me, it's, you saved me.
He so saved
this
your life.
Saved
yes.
me.
Yes. You were set up for the story of your life, the real story of your life.
And real freedom.
I was just going to say, Hope, there's so much freedom in your life. And I feel like your ministry has been at such a place, as I've watched you, of like helping other people get free.
Yeah.
Especially
That's
in churches.
That's what I live for.
Yes. Especially in churches and leadership, that people that just don't know where to go. How would you say to someone today that's really even struggling with understanding, like freedom even? Yeah. Is freedom possible?
Oh.
Is it a one and done? Or is it a process of freedom every single day?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
For me, you know, I can't speak for everybody. I was raised to where you go to the altar, you know, you get prayed for and you get up and it's supposed to be gone. Well, I did that for years and it didn't go away.
And I think Can I just say, I think many people are there.
Yes.
And
it's frustrating. It's frustrating.
Yes.
Because you want to be free. You want to walk in freedom.
Yes.
But I do believe there's so much history in our life. There's so many memories. Mm. There's so much we've been through. Yeah. There's so much emotional trauma. Yeah. It reshapes actually our brain. I mean, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I've done enough research to know that trauma reshapes your brain and how you think and how you process. And I think we get stuck in these patterns and we expect God to be a genie in a bottle, and He's not. You know, there is a process of renewing our mind. There is a process of dying daily. Nobody wants to talk about dying, Tammy.
No, they don't.
No.
I don't.
We want to say all the pretty scriptures and all the faith scriptures, and I believe all that too. But Jesus said, you know, I've carried this cross. You got to pick up one too.
Yes.
There's going to be some thorns that you have in your side, just like Apostle Paul did, that keeps you from thinking that you're bigger than you really are.
Absolutely.
There's times you got to wrestle with God and you're going to get up with a limp.
Yes.
I mean, it's a process that God puts us through, and He knows what we need because He's a good daddy.
He so does. But Hope, you put in the work.
I did.
You put in the hard work, and healing is hard. I mean,
it is.
I know the process of healing my own life, and it takes work. It takes surrender, takes honesty. I had to be courageous sometimes, but it took work
it
for
does.
Me, and it didn't come overnight.
No.
Your healing didn't come overnight.
No.
You stayed
years.
In that. Yes. Yes. I feel like sometimes there's different areas in my life where I'm still healing from the loss of my husband, but God is capable, and there is healing. And it takes work. You stayed in it. And that's the thing that makes me so proud when I hear your story and what God has done, how He's rescued you, how He's redeemed the story, how He's restored your marriage and your ministry, and how God is using it now. Nothing is wasted.
Nothing.
And I look back at that September 2013, girl, and I sit before you now and say, man,
I know.
God has done such a work in your life. And what an honor for me to be with you today in praying that people get something from this, that even if they're just in a bad place, that God is still in it with them, and He wants to take them to a place of total healing and restoration.
I think people get hopeless. You know, when you've been in pain so long, when you've been in trauma so long, when you've been to the altar so many times, people get hopeless. But I want to tell people listening today that, listen, there is nothing too big for God.
Amen.
We were counted out. I counted myself out. I thought there was no way God could ever dig to the bottom of my mess and my trauma or ever redeem it, or anyone would ever listen, you know, that God could ever use me again.
Yes.
And I have ministered to thousands and thousands of women across the globe in the last 12 years. And I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. But you do have to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
It does take time. God is not a genie in a bottle, but with Him, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And I love that you just say hope too. I mean, hope is something that is a gift. It's truly a gift from God.
It is.
It's been a gift from God to me in my life, and hanging on to hope. You've done that. And I'm telling you, there are some special people right now that I've got to spend my time with in Ethiopia recently that have been hanging on by a thread, that have been hanging on for hope. And I want to share this story with you right now. And I'm going to come back on the other side and we'll talk about it. And I'll wrap up some end thoughts with hope. So don't go away, but take a moment and watch this.
I've just been spending some time with Kamaida. He's a father, and he's been explaining to us just his struggle, his life. He's disabled as well, and so he's not as able to really work as most men would be. So his father was a real help to him, but then he explained that some months ago his father died because there wasn't any food, is the way that he explained it. So you could tell as he described his story that the fear, the pain, the struggle. Because of 8 years of drought in this area, there's no food. said how in the past when there was, they would grow, and even if they were struggling, that they could go to the neighbors and the neighbors would help them. But now he can't even get that assistance because his neighbors are the same as him. They don't have any food. Kamada's story is one of thousands of families in this area in the same plight, not because they didn't do enough, because it didn't rain enough. They're doing everything they can do. This man is doing whatever he can do to provide for his children. Everything he can do is not enough. I need you to understand that this is a crisis, an absolute food crisis. There's a way to fix this. There's a way to change this. We can't make it rain, but we can provide the food that's needed. If you'll open your heart today and you'll do what you can do, because that gift enables us to respond to this family and many other families in this area that need our response right now.
That's my prayer today too, that we would all open our hearts just a little bit more and give something, even a little something, to help these people that need it so desperately right now. That trip to Ethiopia will be embedded in my heart forever. I think it was truly one of the hardest trips I've ever taken with Life Outreach. Both Isaac and I spoke with so many hurting families. Picture waking up every day not knowing if you'll have food to feed your children, to feed your family. That's the reality of thousands of families just like this, day in and day out. Could you imagine the sheer weight that must carry every single day? Could you imagine 8 years of drought? 8 years of watching your crops wither away, your cattle die, and your hopes slowly fade as you watch the ones you love be taken from you because of the lack of food. And you know what? They're doing everything they can, but there's only so much you can do when the land is parched and the skies are empty. These families, young and old, are hanging on by a thread, praying for a miracle, holding on to hope with every breath that they're able to take. I've cried with them. I've prayed with them. I've hoped with them for that miracle to come. And here's the thing. They weren't asking for handouts. They were just asking for a fighting chance. And they need our help in that fight, plain and simple. But they need it now, before it's too late. Because they have today, but they just aren't promised tomorrow. Here's what it would take for us to be able to help them right now. $30 will feed 3 children for the next 3 months. If you're able to do 50, you'll help feed 5 children, and 100 will feed 10 children. And if you've been blessed and can do 1,000, you will help feed 100 children for the next 3 months. Would you join us in this fight for life? Let's do this together. Let's come together where I believe we can make a real, lasting, eternal difference. They prayed that God would send help. Well, here we are. Let's be the help. Let's be their help. Let's be the helping hands that they need today.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Severe drought and famine, including in crisis areas like Ethiopia, means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the blessing of taking communion. In this book, discover how the sacred ordinance of communion helps to feed your soul and remind you of the transformative power of receiving the Lord's Supper. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Life Legacy Journal. This beautiful journal and pen will help you write your personal story and share the experiences that made you who you are. One day, the generations that follow will be able to look back and learn from the legacy you've left behind. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope that you're going online and giving the very best gift you possibly can give. You must know that it'll make an enormous impact in the lives of so many right now, today. And for any gift that you're able to give today, I want to send you Hope's book, The Most Beautiful Disaster. It is so good, and I promise you, you will love this read. You will not be able to put it down. I couldn't put it down. So give us a call today, and I'll get you this book out right away. Hope, thank you so much for being here. I truly...
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I think the world of you. Any last thoughts for us?
Oh, well, I do have a mentorship program that I do. I have taken women all over the world under my wing. We have over 5 countries represented, over 38 states in the United States. So if they go to hopesbookoffer.com, you can get the workbook for free.
Yes, that sounds fantastic.
It's amazing.
I'll take it all. I'll take it all. You are a gift to the body of Christ. The changes in your life are incredible. And listen, if you've been carrying a heavy weight for years, feeling like there's no one to talk to or to trust, and you sense that you're on the verge of a break in your life, then please, please allow us to pray with you today. Call that number on your screen. Let us pray with you. Let us come alongside you, or reach out to someone who can help you right now. You don't have to do this alone. God's love for you isn't any less just because you can't see it today. You are no less beloved or no less cherished when you're in a bad place. Everything God says you are is still true through it all. No matter how badly you mess up, no matter how far you might have gone off the path you wanted to be on, no matter how much you've sinned, you are loved. God, your God, restore everything you lost. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick up the pieces from all the places where you were scattered. No matter how far away you end up, God, your God, will get you out of there and bring you back. It will be yours again. He will give you a good life. Yes and amen. Hallelujah. I believe that. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time on Life Today.
And that quick, 2 seconds, my life completely changed.
Rabbi Kurt Snyder had a vision that gave him the answer he had been searching for all along.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.